In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, reading today's gospel has taken me on a real journey, a journey of reflection of all the people I've worked with that have been affected by disability, but especially those children I've journeyed with through palliative care. Sometimes I just wonder, how can glory come out of someone so small in pain and suffering? How can God truly, truly be revealed through these precious little ones' pain? I read this Bible verse many, many times, and I reflected deeply about the healing Jesus gave to this man. It's only when I remember my friend Mary's story that I can look at the hope and the faith and light that can come out of such pain and such loss. I messaged my friend Mary and I asked, could I share her story today? She's known for her Bible stories, her reflections, and for the way that she ministers to people. She talks openly and honestly about her journey with God. She asks real questions, even those questions we never have answers for. This is the reflection she wrote after she had her stroke. Lord, why? It's a question asked by so many people, those who are undergoing pain and suffering or overwhelming circumstances, when they come to a point that they feel they can no longer endure what they're going through, and they pray and they ask God, but why? When Mary suffered a brainstem stroke, which left her tube feet and paralyzed from the chest down, she knew that would be the way she was for the rest of her life. And she said, Lord, but why? So this is what Mary said. He brought me back to life, not only to go through the misery I'm going through every day. I don't understand why. Why he allowed this tragedy to happen to me. In spite of that fact, I was faithfully serving him for many years, even decades. During the first 4 years after my stroke, life was very hard for me, especially when I saw people eating and I couldn't eat. But I still continued to serve God the best I could. Mary said then she felt God's call to be involved in an online ministry, which was for people with chronic pain. A non-denominational group ministering to people suffering from fibrochronic pain and chronic illness. It didn't take long and she became the senior pastor of the group. While serving God in this capacity, I finally understood why the Lord allowed me to go through the pain and suffering. It was so I could minister to people in suffering just like me. I could do this because I understood and I feel what they're going through. I trust God and he is in control and knows what's best for me. Because of this, I've committed to serve him until the day he calls me home to be with him. And for the past 12 years, I've served him as a senior pastor of this group. At present, I'm still serving him in this capacity, but I'm so overwhelmed by the ministry the Lord has entrusted to me, which is to be an encourager to people going through pain and suffering. So I praise and I thank God for continuing to use me in my ministry in spite of my disability. God has a loving purpose in allowing us to stay here on earth even in pain. There is work to be done in us which we can be accomplished here on earth. Our afflictions, which are for the moment, are working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. And there is work to be done for others. If only to love and to pray for them, our presence may also be for the purpose of giving others an opportunity to learn, to love, and to have compassion. So instead of feeling bitter and feeling angry or sorry for herself, Mary used her gifts that God had given her to write reflections, to comfort other people, and to share God's love with people who are suffering. She did this only for God's praise and God's glory. So one day, Jesus was walking with his disciples when they passed a blind man. When they saw him, the disciples asked Jesus, who was to blame for the man's blindness? Was it because of his sin, or was it because of his parents' sin? Jesus answered them and told them that no one was to blame. He was blind so that God's work could be shown in him. Then Jesus healed the man, and the people praised and they glorified God for his goodness. So when we look at the questions, what about Mary? God didn't heal her from her pain and suffering. Perhaps if God had healed her, she might never have written all the reflections she does or journeyed with the people she journeyed with and loved the people she loved. She used the tragedy of her disability to glorify God. All people, without exception, matter to God. And our worth and our value as human beings isn't based on what we can or what we can't do. It's not based on our education or how much money we have, or the language we speak, or how much we can speak, or how we look, or how our bodies are. The worth of human being is rooted in the truth that God loves each and every one of us. He loves all people unconditionally because we're all made in his image. According to the Bible, a person is not diminished by what they can or can't do, their ability or their disability. There is nothing that we can do that can make God love us less or any more. We all belong to God by his grace. And it's because of this idea that Embracing Ministries has been developed. Through loving and journeying with families who have children and youth with special needs over the past 8 years, I've come to realize that all people need the opportunity to experience the love of God and to hear the gospel message. The love of one family brought me to have confidence to listen to God's call and work more purposely in this area of inclusion as a servant of God, as a deacon. So I journeyed and supported a family with a child entering palliative care. For a number of years, I visited this little girl frequently at home, bringing activities and songs from home to school. The little girl became very, very ill, and the family asked me to say prayers with her. They weren't a particularly Christian family, but they felt that they wanted someone to acknowledge her and love her at that time while she was sick. So I sang the little girl a blessing, actually one that we used to sing here in Rainbow Fellowship. As I sang, she opened her eyes and she smiled. She began to get a little bit better over the weeks, and it became a routine that I was able to sing a blessing to her when I saw her every time. I know this wasn't just a gift for me, but this was a gift for her too. The family were astonished. They were astonished by the way their daughter responded when I sang her the blessing. She would smile, she'd open her eyes, and she'd really respond and enjoy to the love of God at that very moment. A few years later, this little precious soul eventually passed away. And a couple of weeks after the funeral, I went to visit the family to see how they were going. As I spoke to the little girl's mother, she confided in me how she'd wished her child had gone to Sunday school, how she wished her child had experienced God and knew the Jesus stories, and she told me that the only time her child had gone to church was when she was baptized and at her funeral. So I came away from the house with such a heavy heart and a heavy soul, and I reflected on all the families I journey with, all of them, there are many, and how much I'd grown to love them and how hard it was for some of them to go to church. And it weighed heavy on my heart. And actually, the more I felt called to do it, the more scared I became. But through that, all children, youth and adults, regardless of their ability, need to know that God's love is for them. And they also need to know the gospel messages. So Embracing Ministries was developed. So Embracing Ministries is called Embracing Ministries because we asked a gentleman, we went on camp and we asked him, you know, if you were to say to your churches, how would you include him better? He said, well, just because my body on the outside looks very different from a normal person, it doesn't mean that my soul can't be embraced and loved by God like everyone else. So we decided to actually call this whole ministry Embracing Ministries because actually that's the same for everyone. God embraces and loves us in our soul. So Embracing Ministry is designed to support and nurture the spiritual life of all families with children and youth in special needs. And it aims to help families meet Jesus and become disciples. Building bridges in parishes and communities is really important, because these families need to be invited and they need to be included. So that's been a part of our mission is to reach out to churches to help lead workshops and to help include families. So last year we had our first spring holiday program, which had 12 children with special needs and also 15 mentors. So, and we're also getting ready this year for another spring holiday program. So, and we've got it in September. So we're excited that we're going to do that again with Synergy. So a lot of the children, they don't have words, but we had the story of Noah's Ark. So we brought the animals in for them to experience, because some of the children need to touch and feel and experience to be able to connect to the story. So we had that, and we had a connection through music. A lot of these children, if they don't speak, they actually even can sing. So the music program was one that was a real blessing to our program, because they just connected to the music straight away. Hazel is a deacon within our diocese, and she makes flowers for Floriade. And when she heard that our stories were going to be about creation, they were going to be about animals and Noah's Ark, she asked if she could come and do some flower arranging with the children. So that's what she did. Actually, it was a beautiful afternoon, and every single child engaged in the program, even though one child, his granny, who was the nurse of the program, didn't think he would be included in the program. He made a beautiful flower pot, and he took it home. But she was astounded by what he could do. Bible stories. We knew which children were coming before they came, so we developed Bible stories for each child so they could connect to the story. Willow actually can't see. This is Holy Covenant's story, actually, but because they were made of wood and they're raised, they were really perfect for her, because she could feel the story and be able to connect with it. Mentors. Actually, I think we had 17 mentors who came along, and they volunteered their time. We actually, before the program, we went to schools to speak about the importance of inclusion and the importance of actually in the future, these young leaders will be our future pastors and ministers. It's important that they know how to connect with all people. So they came on board and they helped. So one of the mentors, she actually wrote her reflection. This is just a part of it. And she said, you know, when I came to the holiday program, I felt like I was really serving God and I was giving something of myself. But what I didn't realize was actually I received something. I realized that every child is a child of God. And I realized that actually I got something from them in my ministry. Yeah, so this is connecting with the community. And this is what the parents said. I'll read the quote out so I don't say it wrong. It says, "The spring holiday program gave my son a valuable opportunity to make friends with young people of his own age, to have fun and try new skills, all with the support of a caring leader. Opportunities such as this, where my son can spend time and form friendships with young people with and without disability, is unfortunately rare in our community. This offered a real experience for our son, which as parents, we really can't give him." So retreats. A few times a year, we take the mums and we take them on retreat. We actually rent a cottage in the Benedictine Abbey, and we take five at a time, and we care for them, and we love them, and we just give them time and space to be and to rest without their children. So this is a quote from one of our mums. She said, "At last, there is a place where I can take a moment to breathe, a place to think, a place to restore, rest and heal, to walk and talk with others on the carer's path, and to have someone care and listen to me for the whole weekend and not feel isolated and alone on my journey." And when you talk to many families with children who often have some behavioural issues, that I think they become very isolated. And it doesn't seem to be just one person. It seems to be a lot of these families become quite isolated and alone. So these retreats are actually really important for parents so they can connect with other parents who are on the same journey. Healthy bodies and healthy relationships is something we've decided to do after listening to the needs of the parents. A lot of parents have a fear that their children may be abused. The percentage is very high. So it's 50 to 90% of people with a disability could be sexually abused or assaulted in some way. So we decided to ask parents what did they want. So we're doing a six-week course for parents to learn how to talk to their children, of giving them a voice of how to protect themselves. Keeping children safe is an important part of our ministry. And if parents feel safe of leaving their children with us, then they can rest. So Worthy Partners is in New South Wales. They started last year. And as Embracing Ministries partnered with SU Worthy Partners. And we did that so we could actually minister also to those adults who would like to go on a Christian camp. So it was a wonderful camp. And the adults ministered to each other. Every single person on the camp offered a form of worship to share with the whole group. And that's what one of the campers said. So Minnow's Music is what we've started this year. The first group we had, we thought, oh my goodness, are we going to do this again next week? These children, they like routine and they like to know what happens. But this was learning for us too. So we went away and we decided to create a book of how we were going to do the music and how we were going to set it out. Because actually, for them to arrive and not know what was happening was difficult. We couldn't engage them to begin with. They were all over the place. But by the second week, they'd had a book for a whole week explaining what was going to happen, how they were going to engage in the program, and how they can actually have a voice. So that's just some of the pictures. We sing songs about bubbles, and they have shakers, and they can connect to the music. And this is a form of communication. We actually teach the children signs, and actually the signs are for everyday things like drink, toilet, sit, eat, please, thank you. But we also offer pictures because some of them, signs are too difficult for them to move their hands. The pictures give them an opportunity to be able to touch the picture for us to know what they want. And this is actually a couple of songs that they can choose from. The children have a choice as if it's too noisy, because some children who have autism really, really don't like noise. So we give them an option to either join in, choose a song, or not to join in and wear headphones. Or they still join in with the headphones, but they can choose whether they have louder or quieter. So CBM Luke 14, I became the regional coordinator and didn't know I was the regional coordinator till recently. But we partner with them, and they are a great organisation who provide a lot of resources for churches to connect with people with disabilities. So our main aim this year is mental health and spirituality. After listening to stories, we realise that this is actually something all churches need to engage in. Often we don't talk about mental health. We don't talk about it in our communities. So Louise Gospel is a specialist in this area. She will be speaking at St. Mark's on the 22nd of April, and you're all invited. We have a newsletter at the back with all the details on. She'll be talking in three other places in the diocese too, because we think it's really important that we open that conversation about mental health and spirituality and have people discuss how we include people and love them as they are. So how to become a partner? Well, we have a newsletter at the back, and you can press our like on Facebook page, and you can follow us on our journey. And when our workshops are, you can have a look at that. Assistant. If you'd like to come on board with one of our programs, you can come on board and help. You know, we're always looking for people to help with admin as well as having that connection with the children. Prayer. We need lots of prayer. Lots and lots and lots of prayer. Especially as we begin to think about another holiday program and in a different space this year. We're going to a different space. And actually, we had 12 last year and already have more families asking for this year. So I think it's going to be much bigger this year. So keep us in your prayers, because it could be really big. And keep us in your prayers too as we connect with churches, that people have a heart to want to engage with other people within the parish with special needs or with disabilities. And support. At the moment, we actually need to raise $7,000 for our programs and to employ me 2 days a week. We have a little slip at the back. You're welcome to give a small donation, or you can give regularly. And you can also offer your service for our programs. So I want to just say thank you for letting me come and share about Embracing Ministries. It's where my heart is and where I feel God really calling to me. So may God be with all of you as you when you think about your involvement in your parish with your beautiful people here at Holy Covenant and in your ministry. Amen.